Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. 12 days before the election, a new CBS News New York Times poll shows Barack Obama maintaining his double-digit lead.
In this poll, the Obama-Biden ticket gets the support of 52% of likely voters. John McCain and Sarah Palin, 39%. So there's a 13-point difference there.
CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic, both candidates made stops in key states today, as Howard Ehrenstein reports.
Polls show Indiana could go either way.
Indiana, in just 12 days, you have the chance to elect your next president.
Barack Obama told a rally in Indianapolis, John McCain endorses President Bush's tax policies.
More tax cuts for jobs outsourcing. That's what Senator McCain proposed as his answer to outsourcing.
On what was billed as a Joe the Plumber tour of Florida, McCain shot back,
"Sarah Palin and I will not raise your taxes, my friends."
McCain said he's confident he can win in Florida, though polls now show the state is also very close. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
After his campaign appearances, Obama flew to Hawaii to visit his ailing grandmother. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan today offered Congress a bleak assessment of the economy.
"We are in the midst of a once-in-a-century credit tsunami."
And from White House spokeswoman Dana Perino,
"I don't forecast from here, but I just looking at reality and how long it's going to take for people to return this country to job growth, it could be a while."
With foreclosures up 70% from a year ago, FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair said the administration is working to create a loan guarantee program to ease pressure on homeowners.
"We need to act, and we need to act quickly, and we need to act dramatically."
CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman is finding more signs of the credit crunch. It's becoming more difficult to buy a vehicle.
"There's something called a Beacon score, which is your credit score. And if you have a Beacon score of 700 or above, you're in pretty good shape. Most people have a Beacon score of less than that, of, say, 650. And if that's the case, your odds of getting a loan at a low interest rate or a loan at all are much, much more difficult."
If you are in the market for a car, there's a new ranking you may be interested in. Jeff Gilbert reports.
Fuel efficiency and reliability don't have to be mutually exclusive. Consumer Reports' latest car reliability study shows that hybrids generally do better on average than their conventional counterparts, even older hybrids.
"The Prius has been out since 2001. The Insight came out in 2000. And they are still really reliable, even in their eighth year of service."
Consumer Reports Director of Automotive Testing, David Champion, also praising Toyota and Ford, but saying that Chrysler's cars and trucks are getting worse, not better. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Some trouble in the jury room at the Senator Ted Stevens trial in Washington. The panel complained today one of the jurors was rude and disrespectful. The judge refused to dismiss the woman. The jury will resume deliberations tomorrow. On Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow up 172 points. This is CBS News.
How to squeeze $30 out of a light bulb. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get new lower prices on CFL bulbs. Step 2. Grasp a new energy-saving CFL bulb and twist it into a light fixture. Use 75% less energy. Save $30 or more over the lifetime of the bulb. Step 3. Flip on the lights. Bask in the glow of your savings.
Our guaranteed low prices on CFL bulbs are now even lower at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
So many jellyfish are swarming an area off the California coast, they're clogging the water a nuclear power plant needs. Blake Taylor of KMJ reports.
One unit of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant is running near full power today, but the second unit remains quiet after 1,000 or so jellyfish infiltrated the plant's cooling water supply this week.
We've never had something like this happen before. We're used to dealing with kelp.
Plant life is one thing, but jellyfish are a different ball game. Plant spokesperson Sharon Gavin says luckily the moon jellies aren't considered dangerous.
Well, we sent divers into the water at about 2 o'clock that morning.
Marine biologists say the jellyfish population is exploding this year on the Pacific coast because of warm water and plenty of food in the form of algae. Blake Taylor, CBS News, Fresno.
Four students at a middle school in St. Louis are in trouble for taking part in Hit a Jew Day. School officials say it started innocently enough with Hug a Friend Day, then High Five Day, but it grew more ominous with Hit a Tall Person Day. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hey guys, let's talk numbers. At the men's store inside JCPenney, we've got the best selection on all your favorite Levi's numbers. 505, 514, 527, or 569. And how about $29.99? That's right. At the men's store, all these Levi's jeans are now just $29.99. You won't find a lower price for the rest of the year. So hurry in and choose from low boot cut, new slim straight fit, loose straight, or regular fit. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Brace yourselves, because I'm going to bring up a subject nobody likes to think about, buying a used car. I know, painful. Well, I've got a painless solution. Honda Certified Used Cars. Their well-maintained late-model Hondas each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. They'll even provide a Carfax vehicle history report. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco, where we've got a beautiful Indian summer sky kind of day. 80 degrees around San Francisco Bay. We're enjoying it while it lasts. Lots of people to talk about, important things to discuss today. Faz Shakir will join us in just a moment from the Center for American Progress. Later this hour, Ari Melber, he's on the road with Obama for The Nation magazine and WashingtonIndependent.com. Lots to talk about with Ari. And next hour, our usual weekly visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Lots to talk about there. Russia is supporting an extension of the U.S. occupation in Iraq. Those pesky Iraqis, though, still negotiating and resisting some of the demands from the occupiers. Also, another friendly fire strike in Afghanistan. An airstrike has killed 9 Afghan soldiers, and America is once again on the defensive there. Other issues we'll talk about, too, including it was 25 years ago that U.S. Marines died in an attack on the barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. We'll see if Scott draws any lessons from that. And in the Free Speech Zone today, Dave Berman will join us. He's an election activist from Humboldt County, and he has some important things to discuss in terms of his lack of confidence in our electoral process and the outcome that will be announced on election night. Also, we'll get Gary Chu's review of the new Oliver Stone film, W, before the end of the show today. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to check in with us at any moment. 888-573-8372, toll free. And you can always email me. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Faz Shakir is the research director at the Center for American Progress, and he manages the Daily Progress Report and the Think Progress update site and blog. Faz, great to have you again today.
Thanks, Peter.
I'm just wondering if you have any jealousy of Sarah Palin and her shopping sprees at Saks Fifth Avenue and Neiman Marcus. I know you're a natty guy. I've met you a number of times. You're a styling fellow.
If I had $150,000 to spend, Peter, I think I'd probably find different ways to spend it.
Come on, Faz. Don't you think you'd like a Brioni suit, $5,000, tailored by somebody on Savile Row in London?
Hmm? I might go out for a nice dinner or something, but that's probably the extent of my my dabbling in the finer arts in life.
Now,
it does say something about our priorities, right? The other day I was thinking about what could we do after the election to harp on this fact. And I thought mm-hmm. about a slogan of Sarah Palin saying, you know, I ran with John McCain and all I got was this fancy $5,000 T-shirt.
Well, I'm waiting for the details of the expenditures to be revealed because I want to know just how much lipstick was in that $150,000 budget.
Right. Certainly, it cost a lot. It was something like $4,000, right, that they put in for quote-unquote makeup.
Uh-huh.
And which the irony, as we reported the other day, is that McCain actually had double that amount for makeup.
Oh, really?
It was something like $8,000 for McCain's makeup over the same period of time. So, you know, I think there's probably good reasons for that. Mr. McCain, I think, particularly for his debates and public appearances, mm-hmm. needs a little bit of dressing up. But, yeah, they spent twice as much on makeup for McCain than they did Palin.
Well, now, has the cost of Bondo gone up? Because I don't mean to be too snarky here with Senator McCain, but because of his melanoma, does have some pock marks on his face. And Bondo is the choice of auto body workers all around the world. And it goes on smooth, it hardens up, and then you can sandblast it.
Well, here are the numbers, Peter. I got them right before me. So the Republican National Committee spent $4,716 on hair and makeup for Governor Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
By contrast, they spent $8,672 for McCain's makeup.
Did they do some hair farming for him?
I don't think they really touched the hair, which is even scarier that they could spend that much money. I mean, remember when they used to harp on John Edwards' $400 haircut?
Yeah, I sure do.
How funny are those days, right?
Right. And Faz, we also have these reports from Alaska, some $21,000 in unauthorized spending to take Sarah Palin's kids with her on trips where she was on official business, but they weren't even invited, you know, to have a hamburger.
Yeah, I'm of two minds on that story, Peter. I think on the one hand, she should have accounted for it. She went back and edited the reports. I think to me that's the biggest sin there, is that they went back and tried to cover it up and change the reporting. But if she had been a little bit smarter about this, I don't think that the event organizers of the events that she had been invited to would have minded if she had said, can I bring my children along to this event, and would you mind please extending an official invite? And if she had done that,
mm-hmm.
all of this controversy would not exist because they would have been formal invitees.
Yeah.
But anyways, I have a hard time getting angry at people who want their families involved with them and traveling on the road. So I cut her a little bit of slack on that.
Yeah, I can understand that to a point, but there are issues here about the taxpayers picking up the tab, and she does have an income as governor of Alaska, and if she wants to bring her kids along, I think, for example, a member of Congress couldn't charge the taxpayers to transport his wife and kids with him back and forth from the district to Washington.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and that was the distinction between the makeup story and the and this story, is that at least with the makeups, it was all private campaign funds coming from the RNC,
mm-hmm.
And so you could argue, you know, well, they can spend their money however they wish, but when the taxpayers are involved, it's a whole different story.
Now, the McCain spokesspinner has also said that Sarah Palin will donate these clothes to charity after the campaign. Now, that's very interesting. Do we know if this is the same charity that is living under the threat that Dick Cheney's going to unload his Halliburton stock options any day now?
I mean, does anybody believe that? I thought that was the funniest spin coming from them, that somehow she's going to give all those clothes back. I mean, that is a complete joke. I mean, related to the story, by the way, did you see that Sarah Palin is out campaigning in Iowa, where clearly I think that they don't really have much of a shot at all, but it does raise some issues about why she's in Iowa? Well, clearly it's because, I think, she's already thinking about 2012, and she's going to keep those clothes. Because those clothes are pretty darn important if she's interested in running in 2012. I don't think she's going to give those clothes back at all, but certainly you can count on me, at least, Peter, to be tracking that story when the campaign is over and finding out whether Piper has given back her $6,000 Louis Vuitton bag and whether Sarah Palin has donated to charity. I suspect they might give a couple of items, but she'll keep most of it.
Well, watch eBay.
Watch the Sarah Palin account.
Yeah, it'll be right up there next to the governor's jet from Alaska. Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. Alan Greenspan, who is also better known as the husband of NBC reporter Andrea Mitchell, was up on Capitol Hill today, and it was just kind of a gigantic whoops. You know, Faz, I am finding that the Republicans who talk so much about personal responsibility in other people's sex lives don't have any sense of personal responsibility for their massive failures when they're at the helm of a major government agency.
There were two stories that I saw on the Greenspan thing. One was that he had a quote in there that I just had to laugh at. He said that this crisis has turned out to be much broader than anything I could have imagined. And that set off some, you know, red flags in my head. So I went back and looked. Sure enough, after 9/11, Condi Rice said, no one could have imagined 9/11 occurring. And after Katrina, President Bush said, nobody could have imagined the destruction that Katrina caused. Sure enough, you have these preventable and predicted events. To some degree, some of them were preventable, and certainly predicted, that completely caught the administration off guard. And then after the fact, you have people like Greenspan coming out saying, nobody could have imagined the devastation that this caused. But certainly they could, and it was their fault that they didn't. The other part was an interesting exchange between Henry Waxman and Alan Greenspan. Henry Waxman pressed him on whether his opposition to deregulation his favoring of deregulation, his opposition to regulation, should be reconsidered. And he said, you know what, I think you're right. I think, there was a flaw in my model, and what I thought had been working exceptionally for 40 years actually turned out to be the wrong approach to this problem.
Now, to paraphrase Condi Rice, wasn't there somebody in the bowels of the agency, you know, at the Fed or the Treasury, who was screaming, you know, with their hair on fire, I think we're going to have a meltdown?
There was a former Fed governor. He went by the name Ed Gramlich. Ed Gramlich is a former Fed governor, and he said that he privately went and urged the Fed examiners to investigate the mortgage lenders that were engaging in subprime borrowing, and that he was, quote, rebuffed by Alan Greenspan. This was reported by the New York Times. And then in his book, Alan Greenspan wrote, he believed then, as he does now, that the benefits of broadened home ownership were worth the risk, quote, unquote, worth the risk. So, you know, they knew what they were doing. He rejected all advice to the contrary and decided to put his lot in with Bush's, quote, ownership society.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And again, mistakes were made, but nobody is really responsible. And I am still waiting for a Wall Street entity to volunteer to put some cash into their own bailout, Faz, instead of just waiting for you and me to pay for it.
Right. I mean, you see, John McCain's plan for a bailout is that we all take a haircut so that we can rescue Wall Street. I mean, that kind of thinking is going to be with us for the next few months, I suspect, as Senator Obama takes charge and Republicans come up with cockamamie ideas about how to put the taxpayers on the hook and socialize the losses.
Well, I've got the permanent haircut, so I'm not stepping up for a John McCain trim job. We will take a break and return with Faz Shakir. Log on to progressreport.org, and you can get your copy of the Progress Report delivered to your email free every day. As we continue, we'll talk about the GOP war on unions. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking with Faz Shakir, Research Director of the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and they also run thinkprogress.org, a live update kind of website with blogging potential and all those kinds of bells and whistles. And Faz, just one more item from Think Progress, and then I want to go to today's Progress Report, and that is John McCain enunciated to a television interviewer. He said, "They can't name a single issue that I have changed on, that I have flip-flopped on." And that's narrowly true, because in the link that you have at Think Progress, there isn't one. There are 44 different issues where John McCain has changed sharply since 2000.
you kind of get the feeling, Peter, at this point, that McCain is just losing it. Yeah, man, there are really, like, signals and impressions that he's sending off that he's just tired of this all, and he's acting angrily and reacting just with whatever comes to his mind, regardless if it's the truth or not. I mean, this kind of quote about you can't name a single thing that I flipped off, he knows he himself can name things that he's flipped on. I mean, he's talked at great length about the fact that he's flipped on taxes, and he's explained a number of times why he's now in favor of the Bush tax cuts and used to be against them. That's like the most obvious, but you can go on and on with the whole list, as we do with 44, and, you know, the gay marriage amendment, even on immigration, he's gone back and forth, and then more recently on like a lot of the economic stuff on AIG bailout, Social Security privatization. There's a whole variety of things that he has flip-flopped on.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing, and I encourage you to read it for yourself at thinkprogress.org. Now, in the Progress Report, you're focused on union issues and employment. And first of all, on the big Jumbotron scoreboard, Bill Clinton, in 8 years in the 90s, had a legacy of 23 million new jobs created, and the record for George W. Bush pales in comparison, 4.8 million, and it's hard to imagine any of those jobs are still active today.
You know, and the other part of it is related to the fear-mongering over the tax cuts, right? We're often hear, and we will hear more from conservatives saying, you can't raise taxes in a recession. And we would do well to remind people that Clinton took over while we were at the tail end of a recession, and we still pushed through an increase in tax rates from 36, I think, to 39% on the highest income, from 33 to 36 on the second highest income levels. And all the only thing that happened over the course of time was more and more jobs were created. And people will say at this point that, well, we can't raise taxes because that will inhibit job growth. But, of course, what we saw was the tech boom occurred. We had a whole variety of new jobs created in almost all sectors, even with the higher taxes at that time. And so I think we can pursue a rational and reasonable tax policy while still encouraging growth in the middle class and ensuring that health benefits are accorded to them, and that there's things that they can purchase, that they have the purchasing power to do so.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, McCain has to tread a fine line, because as he calls for no tax cuts on anybody, he really is aligning with the elite in this country, because they're the only ones who face a tax increase under Obama's plan.
Yeah, that's right. And we put out an interesting report today. One of our economic analysts, Michael Ettlinger, took a look at the newest tax plan that McCain is offering, because, you know, just last week, I think he announced that he was also going to cut the cap gains, right, capital gains tax. Mm-hmm. And that was part of his quote effort to stimulate the economy. Well, of course, we all know that cutting the capital gains is something that accrues to the rich. So we incorporated his new calls with his old calls of also cutting the corporate tax rate, which is something that he has long been in favor of throughout the course of the campaign. It's been a central part of his economic platform. So we looked at his total new tax package, and what we found is that McCain and Cindy, his wife, would have saved $730,000 in the past 2 years alone.
Wow.
If McCain's tax plan was intact. And in fact, Obama would have saved $269,000. But under Obama's plan, John McCain would only say, or would pay $62,000.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Faz, your lead story today in the Progress Report is about the Employee Free Choice Act. And I served in my union, was on the national board for many years, and it's an insider story, because the way union elections are conducted right now requires a secret ballot, and that is a way that employers can game the system, play one employee off against the other. And the card check is an easier way for labor organizers to organize a new unit. It's amazing how the Republicans have been able to get their talking points about secret ballot in union elections into the most bizarre contexts this year.
It's incredible to me how much hyperbolic ranting there is over this. I mean, I've been watching a lot of the state and local elections that have been going on around the country, and invariably what you hear in almost all of them is some kind of rant about how Democrats are trying to take away your right to a secret ballot if you're a worker. And I'm not sure how that's playing. And to me, it just sounds like an awkward talking point. Maybe
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it is scaring people. I don't know. But it's obviously not the truth. There's no there's no truth to the fact that they're going to take it away. What they're trying to do is offer another option.
Mm. Read more about it at progressreport.org. Faz Shakir, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Now that we're less than 2 weeks away from the election, the rhetoric intensifies, the interest grows, and although some of the polls see Obama pulling ahead, others say it's still too early to tell.
I think it's a lot tighter than a lot of people have been saying.
David Mark, senior editor of Politico.
We hear Obama supporters suggesting that the race is going to be a blowout, that he's going to get a massive landslide in the Electoral College, and there's a lot of reason to believe it's going to be a very tight race, just as the last two presidential campaigns have been. So it is not over by a long shot.
More after this. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? It doesn't happen overnight, ordinarily, but in some people it can develop quickly and begin with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. If you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message is brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
Parsing conflicting polls isn't easy, says Professor Charles Franklin of the University of Wisconsin.
The real thing you want to look for is, of the spread of polls taken in the last few days, is this poll consistent with most of the others, or does it look really different from the others?
In some key battleground states, it could still go either way, says Politico's David Mark.
I think a lot of Democrats are really concerned about getting too overly optimistic in Florida and Ohio. They've been down that road before to varying degrees in 2000. In 2004, it ended badly, and I don't think they want to set it up so that they have to win one of those two states in order to claim the presidency.
Obama realizes that.
We can't let up, and we won't, because one thing we know is that change never comes without a fight.
He's been getting big crowds, but so has McCain. Candidates can sometimes be fooled by that.
What a crowd. What enthusiasm. Is there any doubt we're going to win this election, my friend?
Can McCain, with his more limited financial resources, close the gap in the remaining days?
Down in money, down in the polls, we got him just where we want him.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh,
less than 2 weeks till our critical presidential election. And there is something in the air. Kind of smells like clean coal to me. That's Tom Petty and the Heartbusters, channeling an old song that was originally a hit in 1970 from a one-hit wonder band called Thunderclap Newman. Ari Melber has been on the campaign trail with Barack Obama this fall, and he joins us right now. He writes for The Nation and publishes at their website, thenation.com, and also for The Washington Independent. Their website is easy to find, too, washingtonindependent.com. And, Ari, I imagine you drew the pool assignment to fly to Hawaii with Barack Obama this weekend, right?
I didn't draw it. I wish I did. That's got to be an easy trip.
Yeah. What do you think about this? Because I don't really know the health of his grandmother, but it does seem to be an inopportune time to suspend your campaign and return to Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, according to Robert Gibbs, his chief traveling aide, this was a very dire situation. They have not publicly specified exactly how bad or what the condition is, but the sense that I have, as best I can tell, is that they're very worried about her and her imminent demise, and felt that he had to get back there to be with her on a personal level. And politically, I actually don't think post-debate that we're in a period where what the candidates say and where they go matters very much.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it is true that in the middle between the two debates, for example, we saw a lot of traffic, a lot of energy around the tit-for-tat and say it to my face and Bill Ayers. I mean, that was a period where the ability to give an interview in 2 hours and get your message out was very important. I haven't seen anything like that this week, back and forth between the candidates, because we're just beyond that stage.
Yeah, you make a good point, and he doesn't really need to comment on Sarah's fashions or those kinds of things. And, you know, by being away from rallies, there's fewer opportunities for the mob mentality to break out, hecklers and that sort of thing. So in some respects, I certainly see your point. But it does seem to be something that's going to kind of break the rhythm. And, well, we'll just have to see how it plays out. Certainly, if there's some sort of a moment or a brilliant photo op with his grandmother, it could cement some of those family values votes.
Sure. And also, it'll of course, turn on what the McCain camp does. Anything is fair game, and it's not a period where either campaign has said they're suspending operations. So if the McCain campaign can get the right attack out and make it the kind of thing that Senator Obama feels the need to personally respond to, then you'll see that play out. But, of course, you know, he can put statements out and probably get up in front of some video, even from Hawaii. So, you know, if you're looking at this politically, the McCain campaign has a potential opening to try to draw him out, to try to put him on the defensive and make him look like he's somehow far away or not connected to the campaign and the problems facing the country, of course. When you look at the recent polls, what you see on the economy and other issues is that most voters find Barack Obama is more connected to their problems and more trusted to handle the economic crisis. So, again, that's an area where McCain can attack, try to use this opening, but it's still an uphill battle.
Yeah. Ari Melber with us on the campaign trail with Barack Obama this fall. And, Ari, this week there was a foreign policy meeting that Obama convened, and it happened about 24 hours after Joe Biden had made some remarks that the Republicans jumped on. And his comment was something to the effect that the other world leaders will test the new president of the United States, and he meant it as a compliment to Obama. But, of course, the way these things get selectively edited, the McCain campaign turned it into a negative and tried to suggest that Biden was saying that Obama is not ready or not up to the task of facing this challenge that may arrive in the first 6 months. Do you think they've properly responded to that and sorted that out?
I do. I mean, I substantively found the comment rather unremarkable. It is true that whenever you have a new administration, there's an incredible amount of shift at home and abroad. And obviously, a country like ours that faces all kinds of opposition and attacks and criticism on the world stage is going to continue to face it anyway, and there's going to always be an assessment about a new leader. So I just found the whole thing rather unremarkable. But, of course, the media has cut Joe Biden less slack because there's a perception that he is somehow gaffe-prone. And every so often he does say off-the-wall things. I can point to others. I just didn't think this was one of them.
Yeah.
So I think they won, you know, the 12, 16 hours about making it a Biden problem and putting them on defense. But, no, Senator Obama spoke out about it briefly in response to a reporter's question after this national security huddle yesterday and basically said, well, you know, my great running mate sometimes makes rhetorical flourishes, but mm-hmm. the core point is accurate, basically what I was just referring to.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, the key is having a president who can have a clean break with the Bush failures, and he thinks he can do that and McCain can't. So again, mm-hmm. it gets a little tiresome, but it's actually true. You have this stark choice between more of the same or a break, change, everything we've heard. And when Obama returns to hitting that point on policies, foreign or domestic, I think it's a winner.
Saw a political cartoon today, and it showed Obama from the rear at a podium addressing a large crowd saying, I fixed that Biden problem. And when you look closely under the stage, you see Joe Biden bound and gagged.
Well, you know, but there is something more important hidden in here, which is Joe Biden may make the kind of errors here and there that titillate cable news, while Sarah Palin may have the kind of one-liners that makes pundits swoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? At the end of the day, I think we've seen a very clear break. You see it in the polling, even among independents and undecided conservatives, not just among Democrats. We've seen an assessment that, sound bites aside, Sarah Palin, who's good at sound bites, is not ready to be president, and John McCain made a bad choice. And we see, conversely, in the voters, I think a great thing, a real mature sense that Barack Obama made a governing decision, not a political decision in his mm-hmm. running mate, and they respect him for that, even if they may not ultimately vote for him. There's a huge gap in the public assessments of these running mates, which, again, I've written about this a lot, shows, you know, the public's not right about everything. I'm not saying that, but it does show a bit of a judgment and maturity that clearly outpaces a lot of the broadcast media discourse about the running mates when they were first selected.
Yeah, and Biden does demonstrate that he's a blowhard from time to time, and I accept that. But he is certainly qualified to be vice president and in turn president, and that's clearly reflected in the polls because we're seeing now 55% of all voters think that Sarah Palin is flatly unqualified for the job.
Exactly. And I mean, look, I'm a critic of John McCain, but I have to say, left-handed compliment, I had a higher opinion of him than this pick. I was personally surprised by the pick, especially as, like everyone else, I started to bear down and figure out who she was and what her qualifications and judgment and abilities were.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that he, either knowing that, picked her, which is incredibly irresponsible, or not knowing that, placed a gamble on someone that he hadn't fully considered and vetted. I really did actually think more of him. I think that John McCain's wrong on a slew of issues, but I had previously considered him someone in government who was more responsible than that. And frankly, that again comes back to what I think other folks who have some respect for him deduced out of this. There's several Republicans, as you and your listeners know, who spoke out in the same vein, that this was an irresponsible choice.
Yeah. And Ari, the governor has slipped out of her handler's grips for a few minutes here and there recently. And that question from a third grader about what the vice president does produced an answer that was quite a whopper. And I really think that the Obama campaign could dispatch her with a nice little piece of humor, like Joe Biden saying, you know, I think it's about time that somebody offered to give Sarah Palin her first tour of the United States Senate, and I'm volunteering to do that. And while I'm there, I'm going to explain to her what the vice president does and what she doesn't do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you saw it also earlier in her inability to name a single Supreme Court case. That's a very serious thing. These are not gotcha questions, you know. If you don't know any Supreme Court cases or have any basic grasp of what that branch of government does, that's very problematic for our country if you actually became president, because you don't have the fluency and the basic understanding of what the limits are, how the court governs and oversees both the executive and legislative branch, especially important given the abuses we've seen over the administration in the last 8 years. So it's not, you know, it's a laughing matter, but it's not, because she really has not shown, you know, a basic understanding of American government.
Well, and she probably thinks that the vice president would cast a tie-breaking vote at the U.S. Supreme Court, where there is rarely a tie because there are nine justices. Let's go to Ben in Salinas. He's got a comment for us. Go ahead, Ben. You're on the air with Ari Melber.
This is the trick bag that Obama's in. Let's say he should not go to Hawaii by, for some reason. Now, he is living the actual family values all of these other evangelical Nazis profess to observe. But however, then they would, if, let's say he didn't go and his mom passed, his grandma passed away, they would say he didn't care about Joe the Barber, which Joe the CEO, but now look, he don't even care for his own grandma, the woman that raised him. Could it be because she's white? And they would spin that so many ways, and they would jump on that and pour billions into it. Think about your grandma and vote for, you know, you can see the spin coming backwards. So Obama, I say right on to the man, he is living his family values. Let him not walk in fear, but knowing we're behind him, because he is the footsteps into the future, because if he ain't, we're in deep crap.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. I think that's a thoughtful comment. Now, Ari, you were on television recently with Republican Ed Rogers, and it was just one of those, he kept interrupting, and he interrupted the moderator, he interrupted you, and he was so busy trying to avoid allowing your charges to stick about the dangers of the mob scenes that have been created and fueled by the McCain-Palin campaign. And it's amazing to me that they can stay in such denial while pointing a finger at John Lewis of Georgia, who made what I thought were thoughtful and rational comments in reaction to the lynch-type comments that were popping up at many of these McCain and Palin rallies. And their hypocrisy and shamelessness has reached new lows.
It has, and we have to brace ourselves and be vigilant as we move forward if there is a President Obama, because we've seen Republicans, at least in their leadership, not always the rank and file, not saying everyone, but in their leadership and some of the more extremist elements that have congregated at these rallies and in other forums, are often even more virulent in the opposition when they are simply trying to tear down some Democratic president. And so, you know, this may not go away, and we've got economic hard times, and you see it ranging from their rallies to the Republican congresswoman calling for this McCarthy-like investigation of liberal members of Congress based on ideology. I mean, what could be more un-American and despicable than the idea that people should be investigated for their beliefs in our Constitution?
And you posted an excerpt from a pool report in one of your articles at Washington Independent about a 54-year-old woman who greeted Obama at a lunch counter or a barbecue joint or something like that with socialist, 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 get out of here. And this just shows how this is kind of, I describe them as a new generation of ditto heads, people who will accept scurrilous commentary into their brains and then parrot it without any, well, presumably without any thought. Maybe they think about it and they think it's a good thing. But it just comes off to me as these incredible displays of prideful ignorance.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it may be here to stay. We're in a tough period, and the economic hard times can often make at least some people feel even more desperate and isolated and lean on old tropes and hate and some of what we've seen. I think the trick, or the challenge, maybe a better word, for those of us who want to fight this, stand up and be strong, but also not sink to that level and not get into suppressing other people's speech. In other words, we live in a country where we have these strong protections and you can say whatever you want. I think the challenge for us, especially if there is an Obama administration, is to really continue to use the legitimate political tools at our disposal to beat these people, to run the Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who's been under a real firestorm since she made her McCarthy-type speech on MSNBC, is to use the political tools against them. And that's why I am excited and have been writing about a lot of what the Internet can do, because it's a freer medium, it's a transparent medium, but it's also a place where you can raise money. Her opponent now has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars in a matter of days from people who are saying not, oh, Michelle Bachmann doesn't have a right to say stupid things. She does. She can go on TV and say stupid, hateful things. But we can organize, and The Nation magazine, I should mention, has created a hub and gotten behind her opponent, raising money, and people have also gone to actblue.com and done it directly.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter where you go, as long as you stand up and you say, well, that kind of person doesn't belong in Congress, we're not going to attack her speech rights, we're not going to censure her. I'm not personally for the censor petition, although that's also been online. But we're just going to beat her.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get the word out that this is what she believes. It's un-American. It's anti-democracy. And we're going to try to beat her at the polls. And I think that's the way to do it.
We'll continue in a moment with Ari Melber. Read him at thenation.com and also at washingtonindependent.com. If you got a comment or a question, now's the time to call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's time for the 9th International Film Festival, presented by the local United Nations Association, with 14 excellent international documentary films, again at the gorgeous Golden State Theater in Monterey. There will be 4 film sessions, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, November 13, 14, and 15 at 7 p.m., and Sunday afternoon, November 16 at 2 p.m. Admission is just $5 per day, with free entry for full-time students. These outstanding films concern global issues like human rights, the environment, impacts of globalization, and security. From 15 to 90 minutes long, and deal with countries and cultures as diverse as China, India, Bangladesh, New Guinea, Russia, Palestine, Argentina, and the U.S. Feature films include new documentaries, One Water, Stealing America Vote by Vote, The Judge and the General, about Pinochet of Chile, and Fire Under the Snow, about human rights in Tibet. That's November 13 to 16th. At the Golden State. More at unamontereybay.org.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by friends of Bill Monning.
And accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times they are a-changing.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Ari Melber from The Nation with us here. And Ari, the times, they are a-changing. And I think the comments that came from Colin Powell in his endorsement of Senator Obama, and I'm one of those people who hasn't completely forgiven Powell for his role in the Bush administration, including the misleading testimony at the United Nations, and his failure to sound the alarm about the torture policies, the spying, and other things that he knew about. That said, I think that the remarks that he volunteered, and in the 7-minute monologue that he issued to Tom Brokaw on Meet the Press on Sunday, he covered a number of very important points about generational change, about McCain and Palin's failures, and about his sense of Obama. What kind of weight do you think that carries?
I think it has a huge weight. By self-assessment, one out of five independent voters said it makes them more likely to back Obama, which is striking because voters usually deny that endorsements have much of an impact, even if they do, right? It's hard to actually pinpoint it, because people don't like to say that, oh, I'm voting for him because someone else told me to. But again, it's a measure of just how widely respected Colin Powell is in American life, seen as a unique figure, often above politics, and seen quite differently than his compatriots from the Bush administration, even though, as you rightly point out, there's plenty of problems with his foreign policy record as of late. Having said that, you know, as I wrote in a piece last week, he is the most popular member ever to serve in the Bush administration. And by far on the national security team, if you look at the favorable and unfavorable ratings of people like Secretary Rice, who holds his position, or Donald Rumsfeld, they have 5 and 6 times the negative rating of Colin Powell. His negative rating is about 5%, which I wrote is a little bit more in line with Santa than a Bush administration official.
Well, and despite the fact that I can't forgive him for some things, the very people likely to respond positively to his endorsement don't honestly feel the same way I do about that.
Right. They may not feel the same way that you or I would, and to the extent that they have soured on the war, they actually probably like Colin Powell partly. Now, I'm totally speculating, obviously, but some people will identify with him because they feel a similar trajectory. People who initially supported the war, perhaps reluctantly, like Powell, had private misgivings, like Powell, went along and backed their president, like Powell, later saw, when the evidence overwhelmed them, that this was wrong war, wrong time, sold in the wrong, illegal, deceitful way. Maybe they wouldn't use all of those words. And like Powell, have changed their views. So his trajectory, although from a very different position of power, may track closely with independents and conservative Democrats and others who've turned on the war. So it's a very important endorsement. It really can't be overstated, unlike so many other things that happened on the campaign trail. And as you said, the way that he laid out his arguments, both domestic and foreign policy, judgment, and character, when it came down to the way that John McCain is comporting his campaign, really moved me. And I follow this stuff too closely and listen to too many speeches, and I was just struck. If anyone out there has not sat down and listened to that opening he gave on Meet the Press, you know, go to YouTube and go check it out. It's really worth a listen.
Yeah. Ari, about a minute and a half remaining, and I have a compound question for you. Will the Obama campaign be able to spend all the money they've raised before Election Day? And why are they dinging the media for nominal expenses for the Lincoln Park in Chicago victory night or election night celebration?
Well, I just registered a $900 fee for a table and some internet space in Chicago. So as a writer, especially someone who writes for publications that don't have big budgets, I cannot understand why they're charging that much. They don't have a good answer for it. And this is an area actually where the FEC should be more vigilant in both campaigns. They should not be profiting off the media in general for providing basic services when they're restricting access. So, you know, I like Barack Obama's policies on a lot of issues, but this is a weird one. I don't have a good answer for you. I don't think there is one.
And can they spend it all?
They may end up with some money in the bank the way they're taking it in, but they're putting a lot on air. They'll dump a lot in TV ads the last couple of days and probably spend most of it.
All right. All right, great pleasure. Thanks for all the work you've done, and I appreciate you sending me all your dispatches. You keep me well informed.
Yes, sir, and thanks to your listeners.
All right, take care. That's Bye-bye. Ari Melber. Read his work at thenation.com and at the Washington Independent. Their website is plain washingtonindependent.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum on duty today taking your calls. And coming up next, Scott Dick joins us. We'll talk about military and veterans issues for the entire hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Alan Greenspan weighs in on the economic crisis.
We are in the midst of a once-in-a-century credit tsunami.
First, a corporate bailout, now helping homeowners.
We need to act, and we need to act quickly, and we need to act dramatically.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Some say former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan shares some of the blame for this mess we're in. At a congressional hearing today, Greenspan said he failed to foresee the collapse in home prices and made a mistake in believing that banks would be prudent in their lending practices. The fact that they weren't, he said, leaves him in a state of shocked disbelief. Now...
Given the financial damage to date, I cannot see how we can avoid a significant rise in layoffs and unemployment.
Greenspan said the crisis won't end until home prices stabilize, and that will be many months in the future. The Labor Department says new claims for unemployment benefits rose by 15,000 last week, and there are more job losses in the pipeline. Goldman Sachs reportedly will cut 3,300 jobs, Coca-Cola will lay off 1,000, and as WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports, there's all kinds of cost-cutting in the auto industry.
GM tightening its belt by suspending its payments to 401k accounts and stopping programs like the one that helps pay workers' tuition. This comes as Chrysler cuts more than 1,800 jobs. President Jim Press saying they need to slim down to survive.
We're going
to
be here. This too, for all of us, this too shall pass.
Press also labeling reports of Chrysler-GM merger talks as pure speculation. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Today, Michigan's congressional delegation asked Treasury Secretary Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke to buy the troubled assets of auto finance companies so it'll be easier for car buyers to get loans. Now this.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
How to maintain things in your home, like optimism. Step 1. Think positive and head straight to the Home Depot. Step 2. Feel your optimism surge as you discover that the Home Depot has lowered prices on ceiling fans, tools, and over 1,000 items throughout the store to help you do more with less. Step 3. Do more with less, optimistically.
Guaranteed low prices, now even lower. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Buy and sell. It was a very mixed market today, but at the close, the Dow was 172 points higher at 86.91. Tech stocks didn't do as well. The Nasdaq lost 11 points. Home foreclosures were up 70% in the third quarter. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on an effort to stop the bleeding.
Government officials promise a program soon to provide loan guarantees and other incentives to banks to modify troubled mortgages. FDIC Chair Sheila Bair told a Senate panel quick, dramatic action is needed.
Preventing unnecessary foreclosures will be essential to stabilizing home prices and providing stability to mortgage markets and the overall economy.
When a Treasury official said the plan is in the middle of a, quote, policy process, panel chairman Chris Dodd prodded him to get moving.
We're still getting around 10,000 foreclosures a day. So every day we wait, another 10,000 families end up in tough shape.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Barack Obama maintains his lead in the latest CBS News New York Times poll. He and Joe Biden are 13 points ahead of John McCain and Sarah Palin. Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says there seems to be backlash against the Republicans' campaign tactics.
Almost 2 in 3 voters say that John McCain is spending more time attacking Barack Obama than he is explaining what he would do as president. Now, for Barack Obama, it's just the opposite. 69% of voters think he's spending more time explaining what he would do as president. Only 22% think that he's spending more time attacking John McCain.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein wraps up the campaign day.
McCain's bus covered nearly 200 miles from the Atlantic to Florida's Gulf Coast, criticizing Obama all along the way.
He just added a work requirement. 12 days to go in this election, he changed his tax plan because the American people had learned the truth about it.
How's it going, Indiana?
Obama had one stop in Indianapolis before leaving the trail to visit his grandmother.
If Senator McCain wants to defend tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas, that's his choice. But I say give them to companies that are investing right here in Indiana.
Polls show both Florida and Indiana are too close to call. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
How to squeeze $30 out of a light bulb. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get new lower prices on CFL bulbs. Step 2. Grasp a new energy-saving CFL bulb and twist it into a light fixture. Use 75% less energy. Save $30 or more over the lifetime of the bulb. Step 3. Flip on the lights. Bask in the glow of your savings.
Our guaranteed low prices on CFL bulbs are now even lower at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to talk military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. And Dave Berman just parachuted in from Eureka. He's going to kick off the free speech zone next hour with a very provocative point. He has no confidence in our elections. Scott Dick served in the Marine Corps. Then moved over to the Army and retired at the rank of Major. And he joins me every week at this time to talk about military and veterans issues. And your calls are welcome, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Peter, and I have a question for you.
Go right ahead.
When are you going to start your medical practice?
Why?
Well, I know you've seen a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Well, according to McCain-Palin, that makes you qualified to be a doctor. That makes you a medical expert, dude. Didn't you know that?
Well, I want to lay this out for you right here, right now. I am willing to meet with Sarah Palin without preconditions. I don't need a shopping spree at Saks or Neiman Marcus. No preconditions. I would be willing to meet with her because I'd love to just meet this bozo and size her up for myself.
Well, see, what you're talking about is preparation, not preconditions.
Yeah, that's right.
Have a diplomatic strategy before you meet with her. That's preparation, not preconditions. She doesn't know the difference between the two. Bless us of this United States.
Well, and despite that, she's very comfortable lecturing Barack Obama on his lack of experience.
I like the fact that she says, well, he's not a socialist, but he has socialist ideas.
Uh-huh.
Or ideas. And I'm like, what? That makes no sense in any kind of analysis, but that's typical. That's so McCain-Palin, not to make any sense at any level of analysis.
Well, Scott, let's move to some of the issues in the news this week related to the military. We have another problem in Afghanistan where an airstrike by an American group has led to the deaths of 9 Afghan soldiers. You and I have talked about this on too many occasions, that errant airstrikes from a U.S. Aircraft are really one of the big problems in Afghanistan because you really don't win the hearts and minds of the population when you bomb weddings or accidentally kill soldiers who are supposed to be on our side.
No, and it's pretty hard to pin it on the bad guys when they don't have aircraft or helicopters, you know, Black Hawk or Apache helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's an absolute disaster. And there's a story just breaking in the Associated Press as of this looks like evening. Suspected U.S. missile struck a Taliban-linked school in northwest Pakistan, killing 9 people.
Yeah, I've got that one here, too.
Okay, that's not... So either way, Peter, whether we're accidentally killing our allies in Afghanistan or killing people at a school in Pakistan, it doesn't make for a rock-solid security policy.
Right. Now, in Pakistan, and I'm not making an excuse here, I'm just offering information, the attempt was to kill a veteran Taliban commander named Jalaluddin Haqqani, who is described as an ally of Osama bin Laden and had established a madrasa. So this was not any ordinary school. It was an evil school. And apparently that allows us to rationalize the attack by a predator drone.
Right. Evil school.
Mm-hmm.
With kids in it.
Right.
Okay. Now, all the families are going to know exactly why they died and who was the purpose of that, which breeds more hatred and more terrorists in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We've just locked in that community. We've just proven everything that they were teaching at the madrasa to be true.
Well, I wish I had a retort to that, Scott, but it is the tragedy of an occupation that the so-called collateral damage is what cements the attitude and the anger of the populace against the occupation force.
Peter, if you dig deep into the history of the My Lai Massacre, the South Vietnamese and the American military moved in and took surveys of the population in those 5 villages, and it had radicalized the population so much that they were joining the Viet Cong in droves when they had never much favored the Viet Cong to begin with. And that's a matter of historical record.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's those kinds of activities where you just can't use an axe in a place where you need to use a scalpel. Bless our troops there. They're facing a Don Quixote task to get Osama bin Laden with one hand, one leg, and one eye tied behind their backs.
Well, and I'm trying to remember the reporter's name. Rachel Maddow broadcast a package from an NBC reporter in Pakistan earlier this, in Afghanistan earlier this week. And it was striking because they were hunkered down in a bunker situation that they had carved out of the rock. and they were subject to fire from apparent Taliban forces that they couldn't see. They were out there camouflaged in the trees and the very thick ground cover there. And as this NBC reporter monitored the scene, we saw two situations where the machine guns of the American troops jammed, and afterward they complained about the quality of the munitions and the gunnery that they have. And the soldier was putting a good face on it, but one who was interviewed said, you know, we're doing the best we can here, but we don't have enough resources. We don't have enough boots on this ground.
He must have been one of those phony soldiers that Rush Limbaugh talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, I want to point out something. Well, there's a weapon on the battlefield that we see often. It's on top of, mounted on top of Humvees and trucks. It's called the M2, the Modus,
mm-hmm.
the M2 machine gun.
Yeah.
That was fielded in World War I.
Really?
Yeah. It was on the battlefield in World War I.
Uh-huh.
That's not to say they haven't made improvements, but, I mean, really.
It probably doesn't have Internet access.
You know, it's one of those things where the military is that if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I don't know if you noticed, Peter, but now I'm heartened to see more and more pictures of soldiers in places with parking lots filled with buffaloes instead of Humvees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign. It only came 3 years too late, but, you know, our military does learn eventually.
Well, I think the military learns a lot faster than the political leaders who say that they listen to the generals on the front lines, but then, you know, changes the generals till they get one who says actually what they want to hear.
Yeah, who doesn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's a typical way the politicians deal with it. They just go, huh, 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 until something really bad happens and say, we didn't hear anything from the generals. Well, yeah, because they're tone deaf. No, it's really disgusting, Peter, and that this we've seen the Bush-Cheney duo run away from Iraq, and now we hear John McCain. He was asked directly yesterday by Brian Williams, I believe, if he would honor the SOFA agreement between Iraq and the United States. And he said, no, it's Wolf Blitzer. And he said, but you know better than that. Wolf, I've told you, I've said over and over again, it depends on conditions on the ground. So he's not going to honor it. He can't even go there and say the Iraqis are way ahead of this, way out in front of this. They're going to determine when we leave. And you know what? It's something we're going to have to live with. He didn't have the moral courage to do that. He just said, I've said over and over, you know, Wolf, it depends on the conditions on the ground are the Iraqis are kicking our asses out of Iraq. Just thought you'd like to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, I love to hear that. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, speaking of the SOFA agreement, Status of Forces Agreement for Iraq, it continues to be a real problem in negotiation. Earlier this week, we heard some American officials saying, oh, my God, we might not have an agreement. And on December 31st, we might have to order our forces to base and tell them that they cannot patrol the streets of Iraq. They cannot engage or even back up the Iraqi forces. And that kind of worst-case scenario strikes me as just more fodder for the negotiations, trying to put pressure on the Iraqis by suggesting that American troops wouldn't be there to patrol with them or to back them up, which is kind of the two ways that we've been operating recently.
Has some of the Iraqis concerned, and some of the Iraqis don't care. They want the United States out of there. If you look at the polls, the Iraqis want the United States out of their country. And so that's a pretty lame, to me, that'd be a pretty lame threat.
Mm-hmm.
If I was an Iraqi that wanted him out, it's like, oh, you're going to go hunker down in your fortresses? Fine by me. But that's just a different way of looking at it. The negotiations are, I don't know who's conducting them on the American side, but the Iraqis, you know, they have a lot of different places they have to please. They have to please the Sunnis. They have to please all the factions of the Shia. They have to please the government, central government that are big friends with Iran. And Iran is, you know, they're not calling the shots, but they're having a say. As since they're allies, and one of the unintended consequences of the Bush doctrine, they're the ones pushing not to agree. The Americans, they're really playing all the Iraqis are playing with all the cards.
And
McCain's going to end up looking like an idiot.
This from the New York Times on Thursday. For the second time in a week, the Iraqi government explicitly criticized the Americans for public comments about the agreement. A government spokesman said in a statement that the government was concerned about comments by Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who warned on Tuesday that the Iraqi military was not prepared to defend the country from insurgents and foreign forces on its own. That's probably true, but just not what the Iraqis want to hear. And so I think we'll talk more about this agreement because Russia has entered into the conversation here, and we'll reference that as we continue.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. Scott Dick remains with us this entire hour. Your calls and comments welcome. If you have a question about military issues or veterans matters, this is the perfect time to call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
This is your KRXA Traffic and Weather Report. I'm Billy Sunshine. We've got a report in Hollister-Gilroy area of two traffic collisions, one on Salinas Road at Grandview, and a second one, US 101, that's southbound, just north of 25. There's a report of a fire on State Route 68, just east of County 17 in Monterey. And don't forget, there has been a fire and continues to be problematic traffic on State Route 1 at Limekiln Creek Bridge in Monterey County. Your weather? Absolutely beautiful today. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow. Sunshine today, sunshine tomorrow. In fact, when you're listening to KRXA, why there's always a little sunshine in almost every forecast. Now stick around for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with a shout out to our weekend listeners in Seattle, Portland, and Missoula, Montana.
And those of us who just fight laws.
Let me know how we're doing, pro or con. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
But I know they're never going to tell you why, no. They only want to tell you lies, no. Never ever going to tell you why, no. They only want to tell you lies, no. Never ever going to tell you why, no. They only want to tell you lies, it's time. To go home, to take our boys away, no. To take our girls away, no. To take our boys away, no. To take our girls, time to go home. To take our boys away, no. To take our girls away, no.
We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, before the break, we were talking about the difficulty in negotiating a deal between Baghdad and Washington over the status of U.S. forces in Iraq. And because that is now in doubt, the U.S. has a plan B, and that is to go back to the United Nations that we so often ridicule and deplore and say, hey, is it okay if we stay for another year? And this week, Russia announced that despite its anger toward the United States over the dust-up in Georgia and some other provocative comments that have come from Dick Cheney and others, that they are willing to support such an extension if Iraq asks for it from the UN Security Council. Now, to date, I don't believe Iraq has actually made that request, but it appears that the U.S. is trying to kind of intimidate Iraq into either a SOFA or the extension of the U.N. Mandate agreement.
Peter, isn't that a permission slip from the U.N., something that Bush said he would never, ever, ever in a million years swear in a stack of Bibles, draw a line in the sand, get?
something like that, yeah.
This is ridiculous. They're going to go back to the, and you know, Russia wants something. They want something. They sent something back channels. They're probably going to get whatever they want in Georgia, would be my guess.
That's good speculation. I don't think you're off base there.
So that would be my first take. I mean, we're already spending billions trying to help them keep control of their nuclear weapons, so we're stronger allies than John McCain and Sarah Palin want you to believe. But this they obviously want something on the PR front, and it's probably Georgian.
Well, I don't know Russian for quid pro quo, but I think you have put your finger on it. And all we can ask is, okay, did they ask Randy Scheuneman to deliver the message to Saakashvili or maybe Karl Rove to try to keep the Georgians in line as we try to make amends with Russia so that we can maintain our occupation of Iraq? It gets really messy there, don't it?
Yeah, it's one of those fingers. Those inept fingers that they start sticking in other people's pies, then it comes back to just, I screwed that metaphor up, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're idiots surrounded by idiots with idiots as advisors. There's no other way to put it, Peter. They're starting so many little wildfires in all places all over the planet that when they get done, they're going to have to make deal with devil after devil after devil to try to get anywhere, any place. And then everybody knows you can't trust these guys whatsoever. Should be very interesting. There is no Iraqi shot clock. So the Iraqis, they could just do this dance until December 31st.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in fact, the Iraqi parliament is not in session for the next couple of weeks. So this can't be resolved until after our presidential election. And assuming that there is a timely result in that, it could lead to a significant weakening in the Bush administration's position, and they will probably have to accept whatever agreement is on the table, presuming that Barack Obama wins the presidency on November 4th, 5th, 6th, or sometime in early December.
Also, Peter, the Pentagon has started a transition meetings, started transition meetings and briefings with three of the four candidates. Can you guess which one they left out?
Joe Biden.
The Russian expert from Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Well, she doesn't need a briefing.
No. So they called in already the three, and they sat and got a briefing. I'm sure they're going to be spending a lot of time with both candidates. Probably going to give the, the appendices J through Z to Barack Obama because John McCain doesn't strike me as anybody who'll get to even D. And all the information, you have to read past the executive summaries in all these papers to get to the nitty-gritty. So it'll be interesting. They peel those appendices off, give them to the experts. But I'm sure that Barack Obama is going to be reading over people's shoulders, where I have no doubt that John McCain won't be.
He'll have an aide read it and explain it to him in a minute or two. We'll take a break and return. Scott Dick continues. Join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on, wealth spreaders. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
There are 9 million Americans out of work right now, 3 million more than last year.
Yes, companies worried that shoppers will stop shopping, fire workers to cut expenses. But it turns out those workers they're firing are also shoppers who now can't shop because they have no money. I know the concept of government spreading the wealth has become controversial, but unless somebody spreads the wealth, the cars don't leave the lot, the for sale signs stay up, and workers get fired. And after a while, unemployed workers become angry voters. And I guarantee that unless somebody spreads the wealth voluntarily, desperate voters will eventually make sure that the government spreads it involuntarily. So, if you hate the idea of government spreading the wealth, there's only one way to prevent that from happening, and that's for those who still have some cash to start spreading it themselves. I say to the comfortable upper classes, those of you who are waiting for your portfolios to bounce back before you start spending your cash again, come on! That investment wealth you thought you had was never there anyway, and it's not coming back. It was a fantasy built on cheap credit and careless bankers. Even the most imposing sandcastle cannot survive the tide. So you might as well spend some of your cash or it'll be spent for you. But Dave, who has cash? Well, let's see. According to the Guardian of London, 6 Wall Street banks, all of which are being bailed out, are about to pay their financial workers $70 billion in bonuses. I suggest that before too many people read that story, they voluntarily pool their money and fix up a few dilapidated bridges. Now this.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast.
There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganip, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes into the hour. Scott Dick with us on our weekly visit about military and veterans issues. And your calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B.
It's Wednesday night, my woman's out. Once again, I'm home alone. Lately, every Wednesday night, she's late getting home. She phones from work at quitting time. Says the boss asked her to stay. She said she's making double time. But I suspect foul play.
That's Robert Cray, Young Bob, we call him. And the song's called Foul Play. He used it to set up the next portion of our conversation with Scott Dick today. Because Colonel Ann Wright, who served in the military and then served in the State Department and resigned a key post there in protest of the invasion of Iraq, she has been quite an advocate for members of the military and women in the military in particular. And, Scott, recently she has been writing at Truth Out and perhaps other websites about some of these cases where the wives and girlfriends of returning soldiers are paying an incredible price for the impact on their loved ones of this war.
I saw the headlines to some of those Truth Out articles and did not read them. I thought she was referring to the murders of women in Iraq, or somehow she was alluding to the fact that these women that were killed in Iraq, it was a murder as a result of George Bush policies. And I was dead wrong. What she's writing about are the four cases of returning Iraq and Afghanistan veterans to Fort Bragg who killed their wives or their girlfriends, murdered them, had them murdered, paid to have them murdered, or arranged to have them murdered, or killed them themselves. And the five out of one brigade who's not only killed their wives, but they've apparently they shot an Army captain who was standing on a street corner with an AK-47 and found out that weapon had been used to shoot two people in Colorado Springs who were hanging garage sale signs.
Ooh.
So when we dig down deeper, we find out 121 returning Iraq and Afghani veterans have committed a killing or have been charged in one. Hmm. Now, Ken Salazar from Colorado is asking for an investigation because the one brigade with five murders, he wants to know the background on some of these soldiers. Is it gang-related? Do they have waivers? What's the story here? Because that's one brigade. It's not like, you know, the bunch of different brigades. This is out of one brigade at Fort Carson. And that's horrible. That I can't imagine that.
And, Scott, these brigades, I'm guessing, are soldiers who were recruited before the recruitment standards were dropped to permit people with criminal records and other brushes with the law to volunteer to join our military.
No, there's no way of knowing that, Peter, because they started that stuff a couple years ago. Remember when they raised, I mean, we don't even talk about it anymore, but they raised the rate to 42. That wasn't in 07 or 06. I think that was 05.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they began to authorize these felony conviction waivers, and it's gotten progressively worse.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking retirees back in. They're activating individual ready reserve. They still have stop loss, and they're paying these giant bonuses, all claiming they have the support of the American people to continued this occupation of Iraq and this really muddle-through situation in Afghanistan. In the meantime, we're going to pay for this, Peter, for a long time. These kids are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old.
So, Scott, tell me from your own experience in the military. Certainly the military is a cross-section of the American public. And there are people with criminal tendencies, there are people with pathologies and personality disorders. But in general, we do see that the military keeps people in line, gives them a kind of framework or a rigidity that often helps people avoid breaking the law, avoid taking, these kinds of steps of killing a wife or a girlfriend. Do you see factors that have changed?
Well, absolutely, the exposure to violence. What the hell happened to divorce? I mean, I don't get it. They have bonuses. They have a regular cash flow. It's not like these kids. I mean, we're talking 21, 22-year-olds. In this case, for example, Robert Hull led investigators to the body of 19-year-old Judiliana Lawrence. He's 21. What possible stresses and strains could exist for him? They could foreclosing on a 6,000 square foot mansion. Did they repossess his, Bentley? No, none of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's their direct exposure to violence and the fact that the threshold for a human being to, now I'm no psychologist, but the threshold for violence is crossed in a person's experience when they either witness it or they've had violence, placed on them. And so this training that they're going through, and then the actual exposure to violence, because true professional soldiers generally don't kill civilians on the battlefield and don't come back and kill each other or kill their neighbors or et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good, because when you have a rush to take in troops, a lot of people slip through the filter. And in the 80s and 90s, when the economy wasn't so great, the Army really put their standards very high, and we had like 92% had high school diplomas. The officer corps was at like 92% with college degrees. The Air Force was at like 99% in their enlisted ranks with 4-year degrees. And the Army, they left that slip and slip and slip. And when you get lower intelligence scores, you have more criminal waivers, you have people without high school diplomas, you're really scraping the bottom of the demological pool.
Mm-hmm. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available if you want to join the conversation. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Scott, also at Fort Bragg, a case is underway, a military trial, of Staff Sergeant Alberto Martinez. Now, his case a little different. He's not a youngster. He's 41 years old. And in Iraq, he is accused of setting a bomb, an anti-personnel mine, that exploded in 2005 in the officer's room at Saddam Hussein's former water palace in Tikrit, and several officers, including a man that was described as being a real tough taskmaster who had irritated Sergeant Martinez, and that was his captain, Philip Esposito. He died along with one or two other people who were the victims of this bomb. And the sergeant is standing trial, accused of causing this murder, which I guess in your parlance is called fragging.
Yeah, that's a frag, and that's sort of a, it don't happen very often. That's amazing. I hope they have good evidence. If they do, the guy should hang, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there are ways to address the issue of having a martinet for a boss. And sometimes you just have to grunt it out. But I'm thinking about a staff sergeant who's 41 years old. That begs the question, had he been reduced lately based on something that this captain had done? And when you start messing with somebody's finances, you mess with their family, and it starts a ripple effect. But to plant a bomb, that's in the guy's room, and you have no possible chance of getting away with that.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. There must be some intense psychology there.
Well, and the prosecutor told jurors that Martinez had told another soldier that he planned to frag that, and he had an off-color name for the captain, before the blast tore through Esposito's living quarters. And again, the prosecutor quoted here, there was no soldier who voiced as much hatred for Captain Esposito as Sergeant Martinez. So they are painting a motive here. I want to be very clear that the article that I'm looking at doesn't have any direct evidence that ties Martinez to the bomb. To date, it is the circumstantial testimony that's being presented by the prosecutor.
And that worries me, Peter, because just because a guy said he's going to frag his company commander, it doesn't necessarily mean that he did it and then it happened. I mean, sometimes there are clever troops around that said, oh, well, that opens the door for us.
Mm-hmm.
Some idiot says that. So normally guys who talk about it don't. It's the guys who don't talk about it you have to worry about.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, guys who talk about it, they're talkers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to beat that guy's ass, and
right.
They don't.
Yeah.
It's normally the guy gets beaten up, and they have no clue who it was because they didn't open their mouth.
But he who seethes in silence, that's the one you worry more about.
Darn right.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least, somebody who is under intense pressure and starts talking about it, you can pull them aside and say, we need to address this. Or you can get them to, some kind of counsel. You can move them out of the unit. You can move them to the rear. You can do any number of things. It's the guys that don't talk are the ones you have to worry about. They're the ones who commit suicide. Not the ones who said, I can't handle this anymore. Those guys you can work with. But those are the guys who commit suicide, those guys who lash out, and people are shocked because they don't talk.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, what would you suggest as an internal response from the Pentagon to try to deal with this current spate of these violent acts by returning soldiers against their own loved ones?
Well, they're going to do screening, and I don't know what the heck that's going to do unless you gave everybody the MMPI, and I don't think they want to spend the money for that, and had a battery of really good psychologists go over those test results.
And MMPI stands for?
The Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory.
Okay.
And it's one of the few instruments out there that have been normed across ethnic, social, nation groups. And it really is a pretty powerful, instrument versus other things that have never been normed or tested. And people just like the Rorschach, people are like, oh, I can read that. And you're like, what are you talking about? Anyway, so in talking to people and finding out, really doing a commander's assessment of where people are in their lives and doing some one-on-one. But we're talking a massive effort here in a brigade that's of, 4,500, almost 5,000 people. And they have to look at the combat vets, and they have to look at the multiple combat vets. And you can't segregate them from society or anything, but you can sure make sure that they don't have access to weapons and check them for things like financial stresses and marriage stresses and that kind of get them out of training into some recreational activities that require hard work. That's like, take everybody on a wilderness survival deal,
mm-hmm.
kind of way to get people away from their guns and knives and out there where they're thinking about other things except killing their wife or their boss.
And Scott, when I'm thinking of a soldier who returns and his wife or girlfriend is living in base housing, what kind of systems are in place that parallel the civilian system to protect a woman from domestic violence and from a potential perpetrator?
Well, that's a tough one because they don't have the only court that supervises bases are federal courts, and I don't think you can get a federal restraining order. So if you're in base housing and you accuse the military member of battery,
mm-hmm.
he's arrested and put into the civilian court system. But he still has to have access to come on base. So he can't be banned from base. He can only be banned from quarters. And then you get in that whole situation. Who's supervising him? And it's a seam between the federal responsibility, the military responsibility, and the civilian responsibility. And we've seen that case where they've had restraining orders in the Marine Corps out in the Camp Lejeune, and they're tough to enforce. Because there are no civilian cops on the base 24/7, only military guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a seam that these kids can run and still harass their loved ones and get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is. I'm glad you explained that because it does show that women who live on military bases are at greater risk because they can't get a protective order. I don't know of any federal court that has ever issued one of those restraining orders against a soldier in order to protect a wife or girlfriend.
But they could get a civilian order, but then, you know, they have to move into a civilian safe house, for example, and then everything is back on the base, and it makes it even, it's resistant. Women resist that, losing everything to go into a safe house, and the military can't control their service member.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the 25th anniversary of the attack on the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. We'll talk about that and its legacy as we continue in a moment with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
This is your KRXA 540 traffic and weather update. I'm Billy Sunshine. We've got a report of a southbound Route 1 just north of Freedom Boulevard, a traffic hazard, and again in Santa Cruz County at Freedom Boulevard at McDonald Road. And in Monterey County, we have reports northbound US 1 just south of Davis Road, an ambulance responding to a traffic collision. At Salinas Road in Grandview and Hollister-Gilroy area, we have a traffic collision reported. And Route 1 southbound at Limekiln Creek Bridge is closed. There was a fire up there, and the bridge is still closed. Your weather, beautiful as always. Your weather tomorrow, sunshine. This is KRXA 540 weather. Sunshine in almost every weather forecast. Stick around for Peter B. Collins.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast of any portion of our program with a friend or a stranger. Links on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
We'll be the last to die for a mistake.
Springsteen from the most recent release called Magic. Who will be the last to die for Bush's tragic mistake? We're talking with Scott Dick here on the PBC show, and we're joined by Connie from Seaside. Hello, Connie. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I live by Fort Ord.
Uh-huh.
And hi, Scott.
Hi, Connie.
We had, on Fort Ord, they had their own police department, and they have, they used to have, I'm talking about before they turned into what they are now.
Right.
And they had family housing, and they also had single guy housing. I don't know about the girls, but they had single guy housing.
Mm-hmm.
So if the family, in the family house, if the woman reported the guy for domestic abuse, he had to, he got arrested, and then he had to go and live in the single guy housing, and then he got into, he would get put into jail on base.
Yeah, that's right. They'd move into the barracks. You're right. That's what they call the barracks, the single guy housing. They'd move in at family quarters and put a room pending whatever the resolution of it was, whether they were going to be divorced or whatever, because once they're divorced, then the wife loses their family housing on the military base. So it's, yeah, that's the way they used to do it. They used to move guys in the barracks. Peter, I'm looking at something from women's...
But if they weren't going to get divorced, Scott, I mean, if they were going to work it out, if the chaplain was going to work with them or whatever, but I mean for a while to get out of the place where they were in, from the intensity from where they were in.
Sure.
That's the way that it would be settled. So she didn't have to move out, and she could stay there with her family. He would get billeted to the single, to the barracks.
Right.
And that sort of thing. So I just wanted to tell you that the family and the woman wasn't always the loser.
Okay. Thank you, Connie.
You
appreciate
bet.
That. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, Peter, I'm looking at something from womenslaw.org, and it's relatively womenslaw.org. There's something in there about military protective orders, and there's something called now a military protective order that a commander can issue. Mm-hmm. And he can create some pretty tailored instructions for a military service member that must be obeyed that they can't do in a civilian court. It's pretty interesting. And part of that is require subject to attend counseling, require the subject to do certain activities or refrain from doing certain activities, require the subject to leave any public place if the victim is in the same location or facility. You can do, those are quite, when a commander, he can revoke your, for example, your club privileges, he can revoke your driving privileges, and he can pretty much tailor that military protective order along with other privileges commanders have to restrict that guy to let him know, or gal, let them know that this is serious, mm-hmm. and, you know, short of putting them in the stockade, they can still do their jobs. Interesting.
That sounds promising. I do raise the issue that there could be some boy-to-boy buddy system there where the commander could pull punches to protect a favorite soldier, even if that soldier has beaten his wife or girlfriend.
I have never heard of that. Commanders that I know, every commander I've ever met or worked with, including myself, takes that kind of violence very seriously, and they basically, I don't care how good the soldier is, overnight when they got a report like that, they would check it, and sometimes it overreact, but he became an instant turd ball.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few things soldiers can do. They can get a DUI, they might backtrack the sergeants, but engaging in physical violence on their families, I've never seen it where mm-hmm. they wink, wink, swept it under the rug.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Scott, finally, today is the grisly anniversary, 25 years since the Marine barracks in Beirut were bombed, and there's some revisionist commentary on the op-ed page of the New York Times, and the suggestion is that this was the beginning of the jihads, of the Islamic attacks on Americans. Do you see it as part of that, or do you see it as really connected to a bygone decade?
I two parts that I've seen. I was shocked to find out in my readings, this has been a decade ago, that bombing was a direct result of us. We went to Beirut as peacekeepers. We began to give, and we resisted the efforts of the Israeli army to you know, cross into our areas and create havoc. And we actually, some of our guys almost got into fist fights with them. That changed where we began providing intelligence information to the Israelis, and then went further where we were bombing, we were firing the, you know, Mississippi 16-inch guns into the hillsides in Lebanon. And that created the conditions where we went from peacekeepers to enemy targets. And that, I also have seen some literature that said that was really testing the waters for Al-Qaeda, for Osama bin Laden, mm-hmm. to finance that, plan and finance it, but I don't know how true that is.
Well, the implication is that because several months after the attack that killed almost 250 Americans, President Reagan pulled the troops out of there, that that was a symbol of America's lack of commitment, lack of desire to win the situations it enters. But as you pointed out, it was a peacekeeping operation. So it, at least from the American perspective, it's not like that we were on track to some sort of victory and pulled out prematurely.
No, that's idiotic. It was a peacekeeping mission, and I know personally captains and majors who were walking patrols, and they'd bump into the Israelis, and the Israelis were arrogant jerks, and they tried to, I mean, they literally almost got into fist fight, an Israeli captain and an American captain, and they'd be pulled apart by their sergeants, which is really unusual. And they were not going to let the Israelis run roughshod over them. And then some, it began to change. I guess as units rotated in and out, I'm not exactly sure, but when we began to provide intelligence information to the Israelis, that's when we lost our peacekeeper, you know, honest broker status, and that started the, you know, the middle finger mm-hmm. and the rocks and that kind of thing.
Scott Dick, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Peter, anytime.
All right.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan describes the economic crisis as a once-in-a-lifetime credit tsunami and admits he didn't see it coming. Greenspan told Congress he made a mistake to assume that banks would be prudent lenders.
Those of us who have looked to the self-interest of lending institutions to protect shareholders' equity, myself especially, are in a state of shocked disbelief.
Greenspan said it will be many months before home prices stabilize, and the crisis won't be over till they do. In the meantime, he predicts more layoffs and higher unemployment.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, which usually tries to sugarcoat grim economic forecast. But Press Secretary Dana Perino concedes Alan Greenspan is right that more Americans will be losing their jobs.
I think that's what we have been saying, that we're in for a rocky road for on the employment front, and we expect our GDP number next week not to be a good one, and the next quarter could probably be tough as well.
By that, she's alluding to 2 quarters of negative economic growth, the definition of a recession.
Mortgage foreclosures in the third quarter were 70% higher than in the same period last year. Today, Congress heard about the Bush administration's plan to bring that number down.
The man in charge of the government's financial bailout effort says a program to help troubled homeowners should be ready soon. Assistant Treasury Secretary Neel Kashkari told a Senate panel,
"We are passionate about doing everything we can to avoid preventable foreclosures and encouraging loan modifications."
The program is expected to include loan guarantees and industry-wide standards for changing mortgages. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Barack Obama is off to Hawaii to visit his ailing grandmother. He made one campaign stop today in Indianapolis.
I want everybody to know there is early vote here in Indiana. So I want everybody who is able and willing to go vote today.
John McCain made multiple stops in the Sunshine State.
We're doing well in Florida. I'm happy with the polling numbers. It's going to be a
It's going to be a battleground state. We've got a lot of work to do, but we will win, and we will win this election.
The latest CBS News New York Times poll tells a different story.
In this poll, the Obama-Biden ticket gets the support of 52% of likely voters. John McCain and Sarah Palin, 39%. So there's a 13-point difference there.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says 9% of voters say they're still undecided. Detroit automakers announced more cutbacks today. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman says the metal's not moving because of the credit crunch.
It's very, very frustrating for customers. It's also very, very frustrating for dealers. They thought they were out of the woods in some respect. Now the gas prices have come down, and they still can't sell cars because the banks and the lenders aren't giving loans.
When they do lend, they're requiring big down payments and charging high interest rates to customers with less than perfect credit. The Dow up 172 points. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your gas gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, gas gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Oh, good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
How to maintain things in your home, like optimism. Step 1, think positive and head straight to the Home Depot. Step 2, feel your optimism surge as you discover that the Home Depot has lowered prices on ceiling fans, tools, and over 1,000 items throughout the store to help you do more with less. Step 3, do more with less, optimistically.
Guaranteed low prices, now even lower. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
The Philadelphia Phillies lead as they head into Game 2 of the World Series with the Tampa Bay Rays. CBS News correspondent Peter King is covering.
Rays manager Joe Maddon says James Shields' intensity and self-confidence are part of why his teammates call tonight's starter Big Game James.
Just based on his belief in himself, and you combine that with some really good talent.
For the Phillies, it's veteran Brett Myers who rebounded from a poor start after a trip to the minors.
He was hit very headstrong, and he's changed that.
Manager Charlie Manuel says there were times he thought Myers just wouldn't get it.
Once he went down the minor leagues and he came back, it was almost like a different person.
Peter King, CBS News at Tropicana Field.
Last year, Fireworks by Grucci donated $5,000 worth of fireworks to the Christmas Boat Parade in Patchogue, New York. But not this year. The famed fireworks company is pulling out because Christmas has been dropped. Now it's the Holiday Boat Parade. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
How to maintain things in your home, like optimism. Step 1. Think positive and head straight to the Home Depot. Step 2. Feel your optimism surge as you discover that the Home Depot has lowered prices on ceiling fans, tools, and over 1,000 items throughout the store to help you do more with less. Step 3. Do more with less, optimistically.
Guaranteed low prices, now even lower. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance.
as an American voter, are you another poor sucker who never had a chance? Dave Berman joins me this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. He flew all the way down on four wheels. Well, I was going to say on four wheels from Humboldt County today to join me at our secret studio. You can't tell people where we are.
No problem.
Or how low-tech and drab this is, okay?
Okay.
You promise?
Yeah.
Nick, he needs a little more gain on his headphones. The control's way across the room, but he'll turn
it up
for you there. And, Dave, I've had the pleasure of talking with you on many occasions. You joined me at our remote broadcast in Eureka at that beautiful theater last fall. And I recall talking to you the first time I went to a broadcast from Eureka, which was now 2 years ago. And I have a great deal of respect for you. You are a committed activist. You're somebody who knows that elections have been stolen. And you have worked hard to try to do what you can as one individual to remedy the situation. You've come to an interesting conclusion, or at least a point of view, that I want to give you a couple of minutes here to explain. And you called in a few weeks back when Brad Friedman and I were talking in our regular segment about election protection issues, and you really caused me to think. So I'd like you to share your line of reasoning with me and our listeners about why you declare no confidence in the presidential election, which is, some people are already voting, but the final day of voting is less than 10 days away, November 4th.
Okay, well, thank you for the kind words. It's really great to be here, and I have a lot of respect for the work that you do. The idea of no confidence has gone back a few years in the writing and the community organizing that I do. And actually, the way that I have always said it is that there is no basis for confidence in the reported results from federal elections. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you want to say that you have confidence, okay, what you're really saying is that you're willing to have faith, you're willing to trust in a process that otherwise can't prove that the results are accurate.
Yeah.
And so it's that proof that I equate with the basis for confidence. No proof means no basis for confidence, no reason to believe the results that are reported.
Now, what's missing? Because millions of people are voting now by mail or absentee, and millions will go to the polls on November 4th. Are we just sheep being led not to a slaughter, but to a silly ritual that has no actual meaning?
That's one way to put it. I wouldn't take exception to those words at all. I mean, I think what has happened is we've had a corporate takeover of the election process, and the machines that are in use are secret. They are not open to scrutiny by the public or even elections officials,
right,
or the media.
The source code, too, remains private, even after Jennifer Bruner in Ohio and California's Secretary of State have done these top-to-bottom reviews. They can't get the companies to cough up the code.
And yet those scientific studies or examinations of whatever extent, they've all showed countless ways that the machines are compromised or can be compromised. They're flawed by design, and that's not just what they found in those studies. They're flawed by design because of the secrecy. For me, it kind of begins and ends with the secrecy. We have no basis for confidence, no reason to believe or trust when we can't actually see the way that the counting is done. Nobody can mm-hmm. see the way the
right.
counting is done. And then with the machines that have been used under these circumstances, they keep producing nonsensical results, things that can't be true in a legitimate election, such as somebody receiving a negative number of votes, or instances of votes counting up to a certain point and then the machine starting to count backwards,
mm-hmm.
or where more votes were recorded than the number of registered voters.
Correct. Yeah.
When something like this happens, how can you possibly reconcile and determine what the true outcome is supposed to be or the intent of the voters? It
mm-hmm.
can't be done. So there's no basis for confidence. The results are not provable. And where I go with that and what I'm here to talk about today is really a challenge to the media, because the media report election results as fact, even though media has not and cannot independently verify what they're reporting. The results are unprovable, so how could they possibly present it as fact?
Mm-hmm.
And the media is passing this information along to the public when the information is coming from one and only one source, and that is the government,
mm-hmm.
the same government whose grip on power is at stake. So
right.
there's an inherent conflict of interest when you have corporations that are running elections, and there's an inherent conflict of interest, frankly, when government runs elections. The only way to eliminate that is to have the public, the people, we the people, run the elections.
Well, and you're correct about the media. I can cite three exceptions in recent weeks. One is the New York Times did a slightly above average job of reporting the voter suppression tactics, the caging efforts, and the Acorn controversy, which is 90% concocted by the right to distract people from their efforts to steal elections using election fraud, not voter fraud. Secondly, Brad Friedman was invited on the Fox News Channel last weekend. You can catch the clip at bradblog.com. And at the last minute, they changed the topic to talk about the housing crisis. And Brad was undeterred because he was on opposite John Fund, the right-winger from the Wall Street Journal, who's written a book called Stealing Elections, which has every available anecdote about voter fraud that's ever occurred in American history. And he adds it up and says, whoa, it's out of control. Anyway, Brad just kind of forced the issue and kept shifting the conversation to election issues while the host was trying to talk about housing. And the third example is this week Rachel Maddow did an interesting segment with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he referenced Greg Palast's book about Steal Back the Election. And those are really the only examples I can offer of corporate media in one form or another raising these issues just before such a critical election.
Well, they're related issues, but I don't think that's really at the heart of what I'm talking about. I mean, the voter suppression, the caging, that's been going on since long before we had secret corporate electronic vote counting machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to recall that there was a time, I don't know exactly when this was, but the Republican Party had basically been busted for this, and they, maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about. There was a time when they acknowledged and conceded that they would stop doing this because it was wrong, because it was illegal, but clearly that hasn't happened.
I think that was a group in Nevada in 2006, and they were registering voters and destroying the forms of people who wanted to register as Democrats while they turned in the forms of Republicans. That could be the case?
I think it's something else that I'm thinking of, but it's still, to me, it's kind of off to the side of what I'm trying to focus on. I mean, what I think is that we are a highly propagandized country. We know that the media has allowed the government and the military and corporations, and it's kind of a juggernaut. It's the corporate, military, government, media juggernaut mm-hmm. that has made us a fascist country, and they have perpetuated kind of a false reality in many, many ways. One of the things that I see them doing is creating what I've called a rift in the perception of reality. In other words, they make it impossible to know what is really the truth. They muddy the waters. They do it in so many ways. You know, they try to raise doubts about climate change. They try to raise doubts about whether smoking is really that bad for you. You look at the official narrative about 9/11. It's filled with contradictions mm-hmm. and scientific impossibilities.
Yeah.
Same with election results. We can't know them for sure, and I believe that this is all by design. I think what's happening is we are seeing inherent uncertainty created so that the country is being divided intentionally in many, many ways. This is only one of the ways that the public is being divided. We're divided on what we consider to be reality or mm-hmm. the truth. It's been a very effective means of dividing the public
right.
and exerting the fascist control over us that has emerged. So what I'm interested in right now is seeing the public basically exhibit massive disdain for the media. And it basically would sound something like this. You've got to be kidding me. You expect us to believe these election results that you're reporting, even though you haven't and cannot verify it? mm-hmm. and the results can't be proven, and you've got only one source for the information, and it's the conflicted government whose right. power is at stake, no. We the people should be saying, no, we do not accept this as real, and we expect, in order to remedy this, mm-hmm. that the media ought to be the greatest advocates for hand-counting paper ballots, because hand-counting, if it were occurring, it would have lots of transparency. You'd have thousands of ordinary Americans across the country involved in the process, and the media would be in a position to then document the entire counting process. And in doing so, creating the credibility, creating a basis for confidence mm-hmm. in the results that they report.
Do you have confidence in the election upcoming? Maybe you've voted already and mailed in your ballot. Do you have confidence that it will be counted accurately, and that the ultimate result will reflect the will of the American people? Well, Dave Berman's raising important questions here. Your comments are welcome. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs, and investigators in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
This is your KRXA 540 traffic report. I'm Billy Sunshine. Hollister Gilroy is reporting a traffic collision on Route 156 just east of Union Road. And in Monterey, we're just getting a report of a vehicle on fire, Espinosa Road, just west of Rogers Road in Monterey County. Keep an eye out for that. Also in Monterey, we have a pedestrian on the roadway reported on 68, just east of Spreckle Boulevard. A collision reported with ambulance responding in Monterey County on 101, just south of North Davis Road. And Route 1 is closed at the Limekiln Creek Bridge in Monterey County. Your weather? Well, it's beautiful out there. Tomorrow, more sunshine. You're listening to KRXA 540, where there's sunshine in every weather forecast.
Well, I walk back down. Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Walk back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I walk back down. Dave Berman's in the studio with me today from Humboldt County, where he's been working on election issues and blogging and writing and connecting with people for many years now. And, Dave, you have put together a letter to the media about the issues that we discussed in the first segment, about the fact that it is not rationally possible to have actual confidence in the way our elections are conducted and, therefore, the results. And tell people where they can read the letter that you have posted.
Okay. Well, right now it's the top story at wedonotconsent.blogspot.com. There's also a publication in New Zealand called Scoop that has been running a United States Election Integrity Project through their site, and they also have posted the letter, and there's going to be a form on their site that will allow people who go there to read it to add their name as a signer. Mm-hmm. We've already got about 20 people, including Mark Crispin Miller and Lynn Landis, a freelance journalist who's taken election issues all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yes, she has.
And Rob Call, the executive editor and publisher of Op-Ed News. Mm-hmm. David Swanson, who I believe you're familiar with, co-founder of After Downing Street, uh-huh. Right? And on and on. And so we're just getting started with this. The idea is that we want to see the progressive media, the truth tellers in the media, confront this reality and say, you know what? There is no way around this. There is no basis for confidence. There is no way to prove election results in America, at least, you know, federal election results. And it's time that we discuss this truth, mm-hmm. Among the other truths that we try to deal with in the progressive media, as you've done so well, Peter, over the years. And so we're looking to get the support of progressive media people to challenge their colleagues in the industry to take this up. And I hope that we can add your name to the list of signers for this letter.
I would be happy to lend my name to your efforts.
That's great. I'm really glad to hear that.
Let's talk to Michael, who's calling in from Washington. Is that Washington State, Michael?
No, that's Washington, D.C.
All right. Welcome to the program from the Beltway.
Yes, outside the Beltway slightly. But, this is Michael Collins, and I'm one of the signatories on the letter.
Well, thank you for supporting it.
Yeah, and I'm just calling in to let you know it's a great letter. The Scoop site, which is usacoup.scoop.co.nz, has the entire letter, plus it has a form where you can send a letter directly to the media.
Okay.
And the timeliness of the call is this. Dave was talking about how at the back end we never know what really happened because we live in a dual reality. Well, now on elections we have the front end, which is today AP and a German polling firm just ran a huge headline, U.S. race tightening. And yeah, it is pretty funny because every other pollster out there, including very conservative pollsters, are saying this thing is really out of reach for McCain. And I saw this and I thought, you know, people really need to send this letter in because this is the first big step they're taking to create the illusion of a close election, and then they'll have a last minute McCain win. And
well, and let me offer this, because I want Obama to win. That, I think, is pretty clear to our listeners. But even if he wins by a significant margin, we still do not have confidence in the process that will produce that.
No.
And so even if we get an outcome that is favorable to my politics, it doesn't enhance my confidence in the system to
right.
any degree.
No, not at all. So, you know, it's always open to question, or it could be moved down from a 7-point win to a 2-point win, which would delegitimize
right.
The win. And I'm not here advocating for Obama, But it's just, I was stunned when I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Michael, thank you very much. Our switchboard's jammed, and I want to jump to Brennan in Salinas. Hello, Brennan.
Hi, Peter B.
Sir.
You know what? I totally agree with your guest that you have on. I have no confidence whatsoever in this political system. After 2001, how George Bush got in, I mean, who can you trust? We can't trust the people that we're electing, and we can't trust the people who are supposed to count the votes. I mean, I don't have no trust in it. And now they want to turn it over to a computer system that can be hacked at any time. It's just...
Well, you're there in Salinas, and it was 2 years ago when Tony Anchundo was the registrar of voters in Monterey County. He brought a touchscreen machine into the studio, and Brad Friedman and I were there. And when we pointed out all of the weaknesses and vulnerabilities of the system, he said, well, trust me. Tony Anchundo is now behind bars for the way he used his county credit card. We couldn't trust him with that, and we can't trust these people with the elections. Brennan, thank you very much. Dave, just about 30 seconds, how would you like to wrap up your comments today?
Trust is not a relevant variable. We ought not to be asked for our trust in elections. The process ought to be transparent, secure, and verifiably accurate, and we need to see the truth tellers in the media challenge the rest of their industry to say right now election results are not provable.
Well, Dave, thanks for joining us here today, and I want people to go to wedonotconsent.blogspot.com, and they can read your letter and add their signature. Thank you, Dave Berman.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to see you. We'll take more of your calls straight ahead right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo Trustee on November 4th.
I'm Soquel resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, Soquel, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a Soquel Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. for extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Alvarez Eagles are flying into the Salinas Cowboys pit this Friday, our high school football game of the week. For week 7, it's homecoming for the Cowboys right here on KRXA 540 at 7 p.m. Friday.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the free speech zone portion of our program. Your calls are welcome at 888-5.
I was walking down the street,
Peter B.,
concentrating on trucking right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright.
I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
Dedicate that to DJ Nikki T. Bringing a world beat thing to the Peter B. Collins Show here. Let's take more of your calls. We got Paul in Carmel Valley listening on the mighty KRXA. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing, Peter? As usual, you always bring up those topics that always get us all going again.
Well, good.
But, you know, once again, you know, leave it to the Americans to always try and increase technology instead of keeping it simple. You know, I refer to, you know, all the high technology that we're using to count our ballots, but yet Jimmy Carter was using, you know, the old adage of the old pencil and kind of thing, and it kind of correlates to a little saying that I use, and that is that it took $1 million for the Americans to develop a pen that could write upside down in space. And the Russians use a pencil. So, you know, I think this is one of the things that is really kind of a real basic issue. And if I was going to use my dollars, this would be one of the issues that I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how many man hours. I don't care how many days. Mm-hmm. You know, we have become such an instant day society that as soon as the polls close, we need to have the results.
Right.
Well, I refer back to our forefathers. Sometimes it took months. It took months.
Hey,
and
Paul,
to get the results.
In the year 2000, when Al Gore won, we had to wait for, 6 weeks until there was a determination by the Supreme Court of who was being pronounced the actual winner of that election. And the nation did not implode. Our culture didn't come to a halt. And so this is one of the reasons that I channel Brad Friedman, and I'm happy to quote him, that it is important to get it right, and it doesn't have to be on election night.
Well, and there again, our forefathers knew that it was going to take some time to get the election results. That's why we have an election in November, and they don't take office until January, almost mid-January. Because if it took a month or 6 weeks or even 2 months to figure out who the candidate was, then at least there was still some kind of transition period left before they actually took office. And, you know, I think, Peter B., you know, it's one of those kinds of things that technology is a wonderful thing, but it's also the devil in the details.
Well, and Paul, this is a situation where the solution is arguably worse than the problems that led to a search for the solution. And we have to properly remember, and Bobby Kennedy on Rachel Maddow's show the other night referenced this, and I think it's very important, that Bob Ney, who served hard time in federal prison because of his fraudulent behavior with Jack Abramoff, the two of them were part and parcel of drafting the Help America Vote Act, which was intended to be a huge pork barrel gift to the Diebold Company of Ohio, which was a contributor to Mr. Ney's campaigns, and he was very close with that company. And so you see the origins of this, and, you know, we saw the federal money that was provided to make it easier for states and localities to buy these machines so that every election can be uniformly corrupted in this country by the systems that we use. So I just want to underscore what Dave Berman is doing, because while I will continue, I'm going to go vote, and I hope for an outcome that is favorable to my political interests. But it doesn't change my honest opinion, my objective determination, that this entire system is unbelievable, and that we cannot have confidence in the result, even if it's a result that we want.
Well, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, and this is where I guess this is where my problem is, and that is I don't have a problem with it because I vote absentee. My problem is my absentee of a ballot going to actually get counted correctly?
Right, because it's going to be fed into an op scan. It's going to be. Go ahead.
If I decide not to use a touchscreen, then they're going to give you a provisional ballot. Is that provisional ballot going to get counted? So there again, you know, when I look at the expenses of the machines, when I look at the expenses of the hearings and the lawsuits and the jurisdiction, you know, the jurisdictional law that oversees all of this, we could have paid thousands of people to hand count verifiable, receiptable. 10 years from now, they could still recount and re-verify that same count. We don't have that method now.
We could outsource it to some fine people in India and have more confidence in the result. Paul, thank you for your call today. I appreciate hearing from you in Carmel Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, every week about this time, we check in with reporter R.J. Schulman, who publishes at the Post Times Sun Dispatch. We'll give you the web address in just a moment. R.J. Schulman, fired from 13 major metropolitan daily newspapers and now publishing online, and he brings you the stories you will not find anywhere in the corporate media. R.J., thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Peter V. How are you doing this week?
Well, I am stunned by, once again, the work that you do and the relevance of that work, because here we are talking about the election, our lack of confidence in the system and the result it will produce. And your lead story today is just, you know, really in harmony with this. So the headline reads, GOP sees chance of stealing election slipping away. Give us an explanation.
Well, what this is all about, Peter, is that the GOP has built into their system with this strategy that they have a way of stealing the election as long as Barack Obama doesn't get more than 54% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to be that high, they can't quite do it. And they have this strategy that they've had around 2000, which is called actually Operation American Freedom, which allows them to steal the vote with, you know, black box tampering, challenging students and other voters, basic intimidation and, you know, strategies such as that.
Yeah.
And they're adding foreclosed, the people who have their houses foreclosed. What they're doing is they're going to pull them off the registrar's voting roll. So mm-hmm. That's what they're working on, but they know that they can only get about 7%.
Yeah, well, this is one of the theories I've been operating under, that the Republicans wanted to get it close enough so that it you know, you could rationalize the stealing. It wouldn't be as obvious as, say, you know, a 10-point gap or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much how obvious it is. It actually becomes harder for them to do it because it's just too many numbers they have to change.
So you have a quote in this article from Barbara White, a GOP strategist. We were hoping that the relentless personal attacks on Obama, you know, that he's an angry black Muslim intent on teaching sex to your kindergartner, would soften up his numbers enough for us to be in reach of pulling the victory from him. But he has been bobbing and weaving like Muhammad Ali on steroids. And she went on to say, we did make some progress when we tricked the media into covering the Acorn story, thinking it was about real voter fraud. Of course, no one with those wild names will show up to actually vote, but the media focus on Acorn allows us to challenge more legitimate voters. And more importantly, while the media is swarming all over the little Acorn, the mighty tree of GOP vote stealing will go unnoticed, even though it'll cost more than 3 million Democratic votes. This is right on target, RJ.
Yeah, actually, it's amazing that GOP is disclosing this, but they have realized that a lot of Americans have gotten tired of government being so secretive and trying to be more of a party of full disclosure. That's why they're admitting this right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, RJ, one of the other attacks coming from the robocalls and some of the whisper campaigns of the Republicans is that Barack Obama wasn't actually born in the United States. Now, his birth certificate says he was born in Hawaii, and I am inclined to believe that. But what is it that the GOP is saying is the actual truth here?
Well, they say that that's a forged document, but they've come up with one now that shows, in their minds, and they think that they have absolute proof, that Barack Obama was born in Afghanistan in a Al-Qaeda camp.
Really? And who signed the birth certificate or presided over the delivery?
Well, they claim that it's a guy by the name of Dr. Hakim al-Halan, who is now Osama bin Laden's, the last known physician that treats Osama bin Laden. And he was the same person who signed this certificate.
Wow. So there's even more to the story here. You have a quotation here from Clifton Wells of the Republican National Committee that they discovered other damaging documents about Obama?
Yeah, they have a letter that's signed by Barack Obama that describes the terms and conditions of his sale of yellow cake uranium to Saddam Hussein. And so he is actually the one now that has that is going to be shown to have sold yellow cake to Saddam Hussein.
Wow. Well, that would kind of close the loop for the Bush administration, the Valerie Plame case. I mean, that would be a convenient solution to a lot of these things.
Well, it's like a dream come true. And you know, they've got these documents, and post-time Sun-Dispatch was the, we're breaking the story nationally, but you're going to see this become the really big story between now and Election Day.
Well, RJ, thanks for joining us. The one other story people should read at the post-time Sun-Dispatch, which is on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com, is that Rush Limbaugh has announced he's supporting McCain for a racial reason.
Yeah, he's supporting McCain. He's actually admitted that. He's doing that because McCain is white, and his quote is, if all those black people are voting for Obama because he's black, how is it wrong for me or any other white person to vote for McCain because he's white?
All right, people can read the rest of that on your site. RJ Shulman, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
All right, talk to you next week.
Okay, very good. That's RJ Shulman again. The website, PTSD, the digit 1.blogspot.com. And next we go to Brian in Monterey. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, Brian.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I wanted to comment on what Dave Berman had to say, and that I agree with what he said 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an election integrity activist and an electronics technician down in Monterey.
Well, thank you for that work. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I can tell you that after looking at this stuff for a year, I don't have any confidence. There's no way to tell if the ballots, when they get scanned or go through the touchscreen machines, that the results are what are in the ballots themselves, in the paper ballots themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of places where fraud can be done, both by the way that the Sequoia, in Monterey County anyway, the Sequoia Voting System Company controls the process, and where an insider in the elections department could change the results at will if they have when they have access.
Yeah. Well, and we're seeing all kinds of things occurring in the early voting around the country, where people who attempt to vote for Obama see the screen shift to either McCain or a third-party candidate. We have reports like that from West Virginia, from Florida, from Tennessee, and I believe two or three other states already. So, you know, there are many issues here, and just to focus on one that you mentioned, there are real concerns about the optical scanners that are used to tabulate either paper ballots that you fill in the bubble on or absentee ballots. And based on, you know, my frequent conversations with Brad Friedman, my sense is that they are less vulnerable than the touchscreen machines that could be hacked by third parties.
That's not true.
Okay.
The fact is that they have to use ballot definition files so that the scanners will know where to on the ballot to know when a vote is cast.
Right.
And if the way it works down in Monterey County, that ballot definition file is in part fixed by the Score to Voting Company because the software in Monterey County doesn't work quite right. And so you have that vulnerability. Also, because of the way state law is written, the tabulating machines are separate from the reporting machines because they can scan ballots in the 7 days prior to election.
Uh-huh.
So they have to transfer the precinct results from the scanners that are in a particular file
right.
to the reporting machine. They use a USB stick to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that file and you can modify it any way you want because it's on a USB stick. They used to use a floppy
uh-huh.
before. And that's one point at which fraud can be done. And like I said, an insider can do that
yeah.
if they have access, I mean,
right.
when they have access.
Well, the point I was starting to make there, and I don't dispute what you just said, and I don't really disagree with you, but the vulnerability of the touchscreen machines goes beyond insiders who work for the registrar or are there in the tabulation process. They can be hacked from outside, from across the street, from, you know, around the corner using wireless devices. And so I'm not saying that the optical scan tabulators are totally reliable. I'm saying that they're vulnerable primarily to insiders manipulating the results.
Yeah, but there are plenty of insiders. I mean, the security technicians get at those machines all the time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
You know, and then there's just regular workers. They hire temp workers to run the machines on election night and at other times.
Well, Brian,
I'm not specifically disparaging any one person, but if somebody wanted to do it, they could do it.
Right, gotcha. I'm sorry, I got to run to a break. I'm a little late here, but I thank you for
okay.
your call, and I'm glad you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return for more of your calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
Sunshine with the KRXA 540 traffic and weather report. We have a moving roadway hazard on US 101 just south of Wild Horse Road. It's a truck with an open back door. Beware of that. Vehicle on fire is reported on Espinosa just west of Rogers in Monterey County. And again, Route 1 is closed, Limekiln Creek Bridge in Monterey County. The weather, it's just beautiful, and it'll be beautiful tomorrow. And tonight after the Scott Dick Show at 9 o'clock, stick around and tune into Jack Hart and the boys on A Different Perspective. We'll be interviewing Dennis Norton, who's running for Capitola City Council. It promises to be a fun chat, and we want to hear from you. That's 9 o'clock tonight on A Different Perspective. Check in with Billy Sunshine and the boys at that time. And now, stick around for Peter B. Collins.
Quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Well, there's a new feature film, a movie, about our bad president. It's called W. It's produced by Oliver Stone. And Gary Chu is our official Peter B. Collins Show movie reviewer. He's seen it, and he joins us to tell us about it. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Peter B. Here I am in that liberal enclave of Sacramento, ready for a Oliver Stone movie review.
Well, tell us all about it. I've heard kind of mixed reviews, and I've seen Oliver Stone all over the place promoting it.
Oh, that guy is very ubiquitous. He was on Saturday Night Live last week with Sarah Palin and Josh Brolin,
yeah.
I noticed.
Yeah.
You know, I chuckled all the way through the movie in places. You know, I did it with a certain amount of restraint because actually if you sit down and boil down what the movie's trying to say, it's not a very happy message, but it is funny. And the people in the film play their characters quite well, rather broadly, I think, some of them, particularly Scott Glenn doing Rumsfeld. I thought Richard Dreyfuss is quite good as...
Cheney.
Dick Cheney, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the movie didn't really zero in on Bush so much. It was more about his fear of things than more about his aggression and his sense of instilling fear in other people that Stone didn't come through with. So it didn't hit me quite as hard as I thought it might before I went in to see it, which it let me down just a bit. But, you know, I was glad that I went. You haven't had a chance to see it yet, Peter B.?
No, I haven't. I'm falling behind in my big screen viewing. I haven't seen Religious, which I wanted to, and I haven't seen W yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you probably will enjoy them both in ways that both of us probably can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
The film is... It's kind of a picaresque film. It jumps around from the days when he's at Yale and drinking a lot and doing that kind of stuff, and then it moves up into his presidency and getting into the Iraq War. And there are even scenes in it from time to time, Peter B., that approach, but not with the darkness of Stanley Kubrick's famous failsafe film, Dr. Strangelove, because the characters are played just broadly enough to where you could expect maybe Peter Sellers would pop up as one of the characters in it, but he wouldn't fit one of the characters very well in the film at all. So the film is, I would say, I would give it about a three,
yeah.
You know, three, maybe three and a half. It's I think if you're politically disinclined to see, to hear what W has to say, I think probably it might be one you may not want to see. But there are a lot of people laughing all the way through the film.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that Oliver Stone pulled punches because he didn't want to just go after the Michael Moore audience, and he recognized that a lot of these heavier films that have implied criticism or directly criticized Bush policies didn't do so well at the box office? So do you think he edited the film based on a desire to sell movie tickets?
Could be. Could be. I always wondered why people sort of go easy on the president in some ways, or have through these 8 years. Stone sort of disappointed me there, because he was pretty rigorous on Nixon, and also he didn't put Kennedy in a terribly good light in places in JFK. So I thought he was, you know, it might be the syndrome of shooting fish in a barrel, because I think Bush is a beleaguered president now, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe by when he was cutting the film, he realized by that time he could ease off just a little bit and give himself a little more political room, and maybe some more box office room with the film. That's just a theory.
Yeah.
But I recommend the film.
All right. And Josh Brolin did a pretty good W?
He did a pretty good W. I think that my favorite character in the film is played by Stacy Keach, who is a composite of Billy Graham and this Houston preacher that's involved with Bush in the past.
Oh, okay.
He plays his character straight. There is no lampooning of the preacher character, which I thought was a pretty wise move on the part of Stone.
Gary Chu, a great movie review. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Peter B.
All righty.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Alan Greenspan went before Congress today and delivered an unusually direct assessment of the economy. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
In his nearly 19 years as chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan was known for his cryptic pronouncements on the economy. But today, he couldn't have been clearer.
We are in the midst of a once-in-a-century credit tsunami.
A tsunami that some on Capitol Hill said started on his watch when he resisted more regulation as the housing bubble grew.
Do you have any personal responsibility for the financial crisis?
Well, let me give you a little history.
Pressed by Congressman Henry Waxman, Greenspan dodged the question of blame.
Were you wrong?
Partially.
But he admitted his faith in the banks was a mistake.
Greenspan says he assumed they'd be prudent lenders because it was in their best interest. He predicted higher unemployment in the months ahead. Today, the Labor Department said new claims for jobless benefits rose by 15,000 last week. In the latest CBS News New York Times poll,
concerns about unemployment and possible unemployment in the next 12 months for someone in their family are higher than we've seen at any point in our polls since March 1996.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says 35% of those surveyed describe themselves as very concerned. In a separate poll of likely voters, Barack Obama holds his lead over John McCain, 52% to 39%. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports on the campaign day.
What an unbelievable crowd.
On his way to Hawaii, Obama appeared in Indianapolis.
Indiana, in just 12 days, you have the chance to elect your next president.
He said McCain's tax policies don't make sense.
He made kind of a strange argument that the best way to stop companies from shipping jobs overseas is to give more tax cuts to companies that are shipping jobs overseas.
There's 12 days, my friend.
McCain is holding rally after rally in Florida.
We need to win on November 4th. We're going to win Florida and bring real change to Washington, D.C.
Both Florida and Indiana are rated as toss-ups. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The FBI has revealed the message in those threatening letters sent to financial institutions. What?